IFPRI Policy Seminar, Transforming Agriculture in Africa, The Insider's Perspective, held on September 26, 2013, in Washington, D.C. Speaker Yaya Olanya, Chair of the Committee on World Food Security.
I'd like to call upon our second speaker, Yaya Olanya, who has served since 2007 as the permanent representative of the Federal Republic of Nigeria to the Rome-based food agencies of the United Nations. He was elected as chair of the Committee on World Food Security in October 2011. He has served in many posts, including as the Regional Minister for Agriculture and Natural Resources in Ogun State, Nigeria. Yaya, we are very much looking forward to your sharing some of your experiences and insights on the transformation of agriculture in Nigeria, as well as some thoughts on the role of the CFS, the Committee on Food Security, in promoting transformation in agriculture in Africa and other parts of the world. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You know, it's good to be serious, but it's also good to relax, because you'll absorb better. That's what my mother told me. Africa has gone through a lot of problems, some created by ourselves, some created for us. But I think we've come to a point where passing the buck is no longer applicable. Every country in Africa, Africa as a whole, should begin to look inwards without forgetting that you have credible partners out there. But you have to be prepared to carry your load before you seek helping hand. And I think that is where we are now. Like my dear friend Jonathan said earlier on, the stage was set about 10 years ago in Mozambique when the African head of state themselves said 10% of our budget should go on agriculture. It has not been as successful as one would wish. The results are mixed. And I think it's at this point in time that the question of accountability, transparency, should become more acute. Before help comes, I think each government should be asked, how have you done with your own target? And if we begin from that, then some amount of seriousness comes into it. Nigeria is a country that is blessed, it's a country that is rich, but it's a country that you also have poor people. How can you reconcile those two? It's simple. For many years, we have depended on importation after we lost our ability to export. And in four crops and one protein source, Nigeria spent about 1.3 trillion naira every year to import wheat, rice, sugar, and fish. The transformation agenda has come up, having revealed that this is not sustainable. In a country where gas is still being flared till today, where you can use the gas to make fertilizers, where you can use the gas to generate electricity. I think only about 30-35% of Nigerians have regular electricity. It has been challenging. And whatever we may say, we cannot actually succeed in transforming agriculture if electricity is lacking. You may produce more. Your losses are likely to be more. And in effect, resources are wasted. The environment are getting depleted. What the current government decided to do was to say, okay, let us have a rethink on how do we move forward. Until this time, it was Ministry of Agriculture, government in agriculture. Fertilizers are imported by government, distributed by government, hardly reach the farmers. There's a shift. The fertilizer business was taken off the government. Private sector was brought in. Seed, fertilizer, agrochemicals are now being distributed by fertilizer by private companies. How? By a simple system of wallet. No money involved. Buy your fertilizer, you buy your seed. There are records of the farmers, which apparently was not there before. Now you know the farmers, you know the addresses, and so on. And so you give the fertilizer and the input right to the farmer, and then the farmer will tell the government, I've received so much input, and then your money will be wired to you as the company. What that has done, ordinarily you may not understand it, but as a Nigerian, I know how much that means to us. It has removed middlemen, and it has also removed corruption. The fertilizer thing was a big, big racket. So that is out of the way. But that is not enough. What do we do with the millions of smallholder farmers? Case of Nigeria, when you talk of smallholder farmers, we are not talking of smallholder farmers in Brazil. We are talking of less than 2 hectares of farmer scattered on a landscape that is not really sustainable as it were if you want to mechanize. And they are efficient. They are effective in their own little way. All the government is doing now is to help them to be more efficient and more productive and form them into cooperatives and help them to get market. But there are other issues that are not agricultural that are limiting. Have the issue of electricity, like I mentioned. You have the issue of infrastructure, road, and so on. And the only way to get things better is to work on electricity seriously. Again, electricity should not be regarded as a development matter. It should be a business. Because if it's a business, then we'll involve the private sector who has the knowledge, the finances to make it work. And then government has a responsibility to regulate how much the rates and tariffs will be. So if you have that as a given, then you'll be in a position to say, okay, there's more food, and then you'll be able to process and leap from primary to secondary, and probably also finalize issues. So Nigeria is no longer treating agriculture as a development project. It's now a business. It's smallholder business, medium, and large size. And in terms of who and who are involved, it's a combination of international investors and local investors, which makes it a mix that is workable. But in the whole process of doing this, there's also the necessity to make sure that there are targets and there are ways and means of monitoring and having results measured. In the question of value chain, Nigeria has done something which is unprecedented, in the sense that we have always imported things that we can produce with minimal effort. Rice, maize, soybean, sorghum, so on. So what has now happened is that the government has invited local industrialists to say, okay, we need to work on these crops. We need to do something special about cassava. Cassava grows everywhere, anywhere. In fact, Nigeria is the largest producer of cassava. But in terms of utilization, we are at the very bottom. We import a lot of wheat, but cassava flour can also be used in bread. And that has been experimented by IITA, International Institute of Tropical Agriculture, which is based in Nigeria, Ibadan. So the government decided to say, okay, let's begin to have some little bit of composite bread, wheat and cassava bread. And that has gone very well. So there is room to make the smallholder farmer to plant his cassava, get it processed, and integrate it into bread, which is what everybody is eating now. Not only bread, cake, and all those confectionaries. We have not gotten to the stage of using it for ethanol. We have not got to the stage of using it for sweetness. Cargill and all those companies are there working out the modalities of this. I think what is important here is that the mix of the private sector, both international and local, is giving us the traction that we need to make it succeed. But the government has done two things. One, providing the enabling environment. Two, making resource available to leverage the attraction to bring in foreign partners. And there is now collaboration, very serious one, that is making it work properly between the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Trade and Industry. I am looking forward to bringing in the Minister of Education, which will now also give the smallholder farmers the opportunity of school meals. Imagine how much food will be produced and consumed by school children that are in the millions in Nigeria every day. And also what that nutrition will do to their faculties and the future generation that we'll have. In addition to that, there's also the hard work of getting not only the local farmers to produce and get the industrialists to buy off them and transmit it into finished products. The government also went a step further to import composite mixes for cassava. And what this does is that the cassava composite flour can now be given out or sold to small, medium bakers for them to make bread. This going on, we also have the opportunity to make sure that marketing reforms are being improved. Value chain market. There are other problems associated with marketing. But first and foremost is that Nigeria has the population. Nigeria has the opportunity of a middle class that is very articulate. But there's a drawback. The drawback is there's a lot of imported food stuff. For Nigeria, there's still going to be a learning or a reorientation to know that your fresh fruit, your fresh foodstuff has more value than canned food. That will take a bit of effort, but I think it's something that has to be done. Because if that begins to happen, then more and more of the smallholder farmers will become more economic, and economy of scale comes into it. What do we expect from this? There is a constraint, and the constraint is political, highly political. The lifespan of government is 4 years. How do we sustain this momentum? The president is leading the drive. The Minister of Finance is realized the importance of making the money available because she's worked all over the world in the World Bank and knows the value of money in business. The Minister of Agriculture has done it elsewhere and feels that he should do it for his nation. So my question has always been, after these 4 years, what happens? But there's hope. The hope is that it is now being put into the hand of the private sector, both local and international. Once it takes root, it's likely to survive. There may be a little bit of bashing here and there, but then it's a process that will take momentum and come to fruition. Now, on a quick one, you see, unless we know what our problems are, we are probably not going to tackle it the right way. Even globally, the world has come to a conclusion that it is high time we move away from working in silos. What happens in Nigeria resonates to the United States. What happens in Timbuktu is felt in China, and vice versa. Therefore, there is need for us to bring knowledge together, to bring best practices together, and also to make sure that best practices are what we share amongst ourselves. If we continue to walk the way we are walking, one thing is certain. The issue of food security, issue of malnutrition, the issue of poverty will begin to reduce. And if it's getting reduced, the health people might say, we are not having enough work to do. We're not getting the money in as we used to. But the truth of the matter is, science is dynamic. There'll be other ways of innovations that will be required. And we'll move away from the basics to something more concrete and more articulate. Nigeria has stopped, like I said, treating agriculture like a development project. Nigeria has decided to make sure that isolated projects are not working. They work for a while and they fizzle out because it is government-centered. Nigeria now has deregulated seed, fertilizer, market reforms are in place, innovative financing for agriculture, and then the new agricultural investment framework. The Central Bank of Nigeria has leveraged $3 billion to make agriculture go the right direction. And this is something that has been unprecedented. So the private sector now sees that government is serious and they also are prepared to bring in their money. Now, I said it earlier on, we are still flaring gas. There were fertilizer plants in the past, but for one mismanagement or the other, they collapsed. This government, in partnership with some local entrepreneurs and international companies, have revived some of these fertilizer plants. But it's still not good enough because gas is still being flared as I'm talking. Electricity is not in the country. The gas can be used to produce electricity. So there's a gamut of things that are out there that has to be properly put together, even though they are coming, but it's still very slow. Let me turn a little bit into the global setting as chair of CFS. One, it is a forum where all stakeholders come together. Government, private sector, civil society, academia, and we sit in one room to discuss issues that affect food security in the world. It is not an easy forum, but over time, we seem to understand one thing, that we are coming from different angles, but we have one common goal. And that common goal is to reduce poverty, to get rid of hunger, either hidden hunger or visible, and also to make sure that malnutrition is no longer on the stage. It is science-based because we have a high-level panel of experts that work on whatever we're going to discuss. And this is being chaired by Professor Suminathan of India. This year, we'll be looking at two main things: smallholder agriculture with respect to food security, biofuel with respect to food security. And my hope is that you have a big role to play, because we deal with policy, we also deal with letting governments know how best to use them. We have the land voluntary guideline for land tenure, forest and fisheries, which is a global document that was signed onto by 183 countries with all stakeholders involved out there. Global, but implementation has to be local. Finally, we are working right now on RAI, which is Responsible Agricultural Investment. That will take care of part of the problem of land grab. Thank you.